Okay, good morning, IT Park, brethren. Parang hindi good ang morning nyo. Good morning. Okay, okay. Nakagulat naman. Okay, so anyway, mayong buntag sa tanan, mayong aga, gikan sa Bacolod City, sa mga Ilonggo. It's always a blessing to be with TJ. Actually, the encouragement is actually the same way towards me because I knew TJ ever since he was an infant. Brother Mel and Sister Marie were just new in ministry and they had him as an infant. And that's when I came back to the Lord. I backslid kasi during college I met the Lord, but I backslid and the Lord used Brother Mel for me to come back to the Lord. And I was always so amazed how God would provide for their family. And TJ was still an infant then. And I think that was one of the reasons or one of the things that the Lord used to encourage me not to be afraid to go into full-time ministry, that the Lord would provide. No? And praise the Lord for that. No? Many pounds after that, the Lord has provided. So if you notice, no? I'm one of the proofs that if you're a pastor, you will not go hungry. No? But I need to exercise, yes? Okay. And so seeing TJ and Kat and their kids pa, no? Now I feel like a lolo also, no? as I see their kids. It just makes me feel not so young. No? I was looking for my age group in that. I could not find it, but I saw it in 35 and above. No? So I said, oops, okay, that's where I am. It's hard. Every time I see TJ and Kat, no, it's really hard for me to believe that the Lord has brought me through these years, no? All through these years. I'm turning 56 this coming year, so July. No? And I'm very thankful that TJ is back. I'm thankful that and encouraged also that the Lord is using him for all of you here, no, in IT Park here in the morning and Saturday evening. And I'm so thankful that I was invited to be your preacher this morning. I believe that the Lord has a word for all of us today, as I shared it also last night. And so let's go straight to our word for this morning. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I want to use this as a jumping point only for our message. A few weeks ago, there was a church in Bacolod that invited me to preach in their church camp. And they gave me a topic that I started to prepare for. And when I prepared for it, it was such a blessing and encouragement that I shared it also to our church. And as I was praying for the word that the Lord would share this morning, He confirmed also that this will be a word for us, no? for here, for those of you in IT Park. And I do pray that the Lord will work in all of our hearts this morning, no matter what position or place you have in the church. Anyway, Matthew 16, starting from verse 13, some of us may be very familiar with this story. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Okay, can we bow our heads? Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we are thankful always, gathering us every Sunday to worship with fellow believers. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Thank you, Lord, even for the reminders of ministries and activities that we have that will help out in our growth and maturity in Christ. We pray that you, Lord, will encourage us and move us to be part of this work, of these works that you have, Lord, in this church. And we thank you for your word, because truly your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher, ministering in our hearts, bringing spiritual truths in spiritual words, even as human words are used, Lord, to speak to us. So we trust in you this morning, Lord, to minister to each one of us. We thank you. We commit this time into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The topic that was given to me and that I will use as a title for my sermon this morning is Working Together as a Church. Okay. So this was a local church in Bacolod. They asked me to preach to them. One of the other topics that they had was working together as a family. And I think what they wanted to do there was to understand that they were a church, a close family, you know, in the church. But what they assigned to me was working together with the understanding that they are a church of Jesus Christ. No? And what a beautiful feeling that is. No? One of the songs that Glenn led us into, actually the last song, is a song that I always treasure in my heart because it's connected nga to the book of Revelation. And it brings us to the fact, no? I don't know how you felt this morning, but every time I sing that song, my imagination flies. No? Because it says, Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude, or every tribe and tongue, and tribe or something. And then we sing hallelujah, and hallelujah to the Lamb. Diba? Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every land. No? Can you imagine this morning, just here in the Philippines, or in our own time zone, okay, this morning, all Christians together, we're worshiping God together with us. No, we do not see them. We do not know them. But together they were worshiping the Lamb that was slain for our sins. No? And then you imagine even in other countries, maybe at the same time, maybe it's an evening service, no? Together worshiping the Lord. And maybe tomorrow there'll be a morning service in America, in North America, no? And so many places. It's such a joy imagining that, no? That we, the church, no? Gather together. Every day we're supposed to worship God. Okay? Not just through song, through our lives, through everything that we do. But Sunday is a blessed day. Why? Because we come together with fellow believers. Sunday is not for us. I pray the Holy Spirit changes that understanding. Many of us have grown up thinking that we come here on Sunday just to be who we are, sing by myself, enjoy the word for myself, and then go home. No. Sunday is supposed to be a day that we recognize as being with fellow believers. And that's why when we hear the other voices singing, when other brethren raise up our hands with us, it should make us feel joy. No, that we are the church of Jesus Christ. No? And that's an identity that is so important for all of us. No? Yes, we are the church. But what does it mean to work together as the church? Now, I'm not talking about ministry. I'm not talking about serving the Lord in ministry or evangelism or feeding the poor or what. No, I'm talking about working together in the church as God works through each one of us. Okay? Because believe it or not, the Lord is working in the church not just through the pastors, not just through the leaders, not just through the small group teachers or Bible study teachers. God is working in the church through each one of you. Each one of you who have committed to be here every Sunday in this local church, you have sensed that this is the church that the Lord is using to build you up through the word, through the worship, through the fellowship, through the activities. If you are part of this church, okay, the Lord is using you together with the rest of the believers in building up this church. Again, you may not be in ministry, you may not realize it, but God is using you. Okay? And when we have our membership class in Bacolod, I always teach them three S's, three words beginning with S that remind them of what their role is in the church. And I believe this is how all of us fit in with regards to serving or the Lord working through us. Number one, we serve in the church, or we allow ourselves to be used by God in the church first through our spirituality. Okay, as we grow in the Lord, as we walk by the Spirit, as the Lord changes our hearts, that builds up the church. Okay? Some of us don't realize it. Okay? The more we change, the more we become Christ-like, and the more we interact with one another, and the more people see how much we've grown, it builds up the church. It may build up the church that's in your home. It will build up your husband, build up your wife, build up your children, as they see you walking by the Spirit and growing in the Spirit. No? Amen to that? That's why our spirituality is important, not just for yourself, Okay, we are not spiritual just so that we can enjoy the blessing of the Lord. No, we need to realize we build our spirituality so that God can use me to encourage one another. Okay, a very simple example. Okay, how many of us don't realize that every time we come here on Sunday, there is at least one person who is so blessed that you came back again? Diba? Have you realized that? At least the ushers. Diba? And the ushers siguro are the ones who really know everyone who keeps on coming back. Every time they see you again, maybe they don't say it. No, they don't say, welcome back. And then when you come the third time, welcome back again. You come back the fourth time, welcome back again and again. Diba? They may not say it that way, but every time they see you, every time the pastor sees your face again, and every time you begin to grow, and then maybe in the beginning you did not raise up your hands while singing, then all of a sudden they see you raising up your hands, and then you start joining small groups and start fellowshipping with the youth. You know, that encourages the church. Simple attendance. See? This is why it's so important for us to listen to the Holy Spirit every Sunday morning. Wake up, di ba? Wake up. It's Sunday. There's no traffic. Oh, di ba? Ang sarap eh. Walang traffic sa Cebu pag Sunday. There's no traffic. No need to rush. And just go. Just be there by what time did we start? 10 a.m. Be here by 10 a.m. And just be blessed. No? You want to be an extra blessing? Di ba? Be blessed also when you see others. Di ba? When you shake their hands. When you see them, what a beautiful feeling. So when you walk by the Spirit, it encourages the church. The second S is support. When we support the church, that's what builds up the church. That's what encourages the church. Now, I'm not just talking financially. You support the church when it has ministries, when it has activities, whatever it is that the local church needs. Lord, I will support it. Support it by prayer. Support it by being there physically. Okay, that it's so important. Your action of support builds up the church. Some of us are God's instruments in building the church through our serving. That's the third S. As you mature in the Lord, eventually you will hear a prompting from the Holy Spirit telling you that it's time for you to serve. And this is where all the ministries that are offered to you and announced every Sunday really become important, because that's what the Lord will confirm in your hearts, that you are part of the church. You may be looking at the worship team and saying, no, I want to be part of that. No, I want to sing back up the worship leader. Or maybe one day I want to be that worship leader or playing instruments. You may be someone who just wants to greet people coming in, just like the ushers. You may have patience for children. Diba? Children's ministry is not for everyone. No? I know that personally. Because when the Lord was prompting my heart to serve, I started as an usher. No? And then after that, I wanted to level up, although that term wasn't there yet during my time. And so I said, let me try the children's ministry. Okay, so I went to the children's ministry. After one morning, I never went back. Okay, because if you don't have a gift in taking care of hyper children running and shouting, and sabi ko, Lord, hindi na lang, no? I'll try worship leading. No? And I tried worship leading. I did not want to give up, but the worship team gave up on me. Okay, so sabi nila, Brother Ricky, ibang ministry na lang siguro. Okay, sige, okay. So I wasn't hurt, no? Because I realized, you know, when you're alone, you think you can sing. Eh? Diba? When you're alone. Okay, but when you sing with a microphone, that's when you realize hindi pala. Okay, so. And then eventually the Lord called me to, I joined the young adults and I was just serving. And then eventually the Lord called me to pastoral ministry, which I never expected. But it begins by just simply wanting to help. When the Lord brought me back from my backslidden state, I was still working during that time. And I was always so excited because I was in sales. I was excited to end my route early. Why? Because I would try to end at 3 o'clock, so I would go to the ministry center and I would go to the secretary and ask her, do you need me to drive you? Do you need to go to the bank? And that's how I helped out Brother Mel. Because I would ask Brother Mel, may Bible study ka ba? Oh, ako na lang magdadrive sa'yo. So we would drive. I would drive him to his Bible studies and I would listen and I would just grow. That's all I wanted to do. So I would be excited always to end my work early, just to be there. That's how it started. That's how I started serving the Lord. Not full time, no, but in my extra time that I had after my work. But serving the Lord just encourages the church, and that's what God uses to build the church. So in that sense, all of us are working together already. We just don't realize it. As we grow in our spirituality, as we support the church physically, financially, and in any other way, and also in our serving God. Okay, I pray that all of us will have those three S's in our lives. But I know that right at this moment, not everyone is. But as we grow, eventually that will come. But whatever S you are in today, what I'd like to share with you actually are three very important foundational understandings that each one of us should have in our hearts. No? And when we have that understanding, this is where we will see that as we trust in God and as we submit to Him, okay, and work with Him, we will actually see God building up the church as we work together. So what are the key factors in God using all of us together as a church in building this local congregation? Okay, let's go back to Matthew 16. It begins with three things I want to share with you today. First, the God of our church. Okay, we need to know the God that we serve. Secondly, we need to remember that we are the church of our God. Okay, and then thirdly, we need to remember the grace of our God. So these three things, these three foundations will be the platform that God will use now as He ministers and as He uses each one of us to build up this church. Okay, so let's talk first about the God of our church. Matthew 16. This is a very, very interesting point in the Lord's ministry, where He now asks His disciples who He is. Okay, so Jesus came, verse 13, to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" You know, if we ask the same question today, they may not give exactly the same answers that the disciples heard from others, but we will also find some different kinds of answers today. Now, so verse 14 says, so they replied. This was not the disciples. They asked what other people believed. And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. So by this time, John the Baptist was dead. And they thought that he had risen from the dead. He had risen from the dead. Others say you are Elijah. And still others, you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Okay, so none of the people during that time really knew or understood who Jesus Christ was. No? And probably some of his disciples were still not also sure who he was. They were just following him. They were being given hints, but it was not yet so sure in their hearts of who he was. But the Lord turns to his disciples and he asks them the same question. And he says, "What about you?" Okay, verse 15. "Who do you say I am?" Okay. Imagine if the Lord appeared today and he would ask us the same question. I think there would be none of us here who would hesitate in mentioning who he is. Right? Because I think it's safe to say that all of us here, or if not most of us, grew up with an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. We grew up in either Catholic or Protestant families. We studied either in Catholic or Protestant schools. And even if you're from another religion, whether you're Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever it is, you are surrounded with so many Christians in this nation that everybody talks about Jesus Christ. Okay? And so if he actually appeared, I wonder if any one of us would hesitate to answer. But when Peter answered, he answered with a conviction in his heart. So Simon Peter answered in verse 16. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now you need to understand, this was not an easy answer during that time. Okay? Because the whole Israel was waiting for the Messiah. They were all waiting for the Christ. Now, if they were properly taught by their teachers, as young as they were, as Israelites, they all knew that this Messiah was coming. Okay, they all knew. So they would not easily say that this person was the Messiah. It probably had to be confirmed from someone way up in the religious circles during that time. Okay, but for Peter to stand up and say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. This took not just a lot of courage, but this took conviction. Okay? In other words, Peter really believed that Jesus was the Christ. And look how Jesus confirms that this was not something man-made or human-made. Now, verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Okay? Now, imagine this. These Jews, Peter, John, James, Philip, Nathaniel, etc., they all grew up knowing God. They all grew up with this understanding of the Messiah, that he would one day come. But here was someone who all of a sudden stood up and said, "I'm sure in my heart that you are the Christ." Why? Jesus said, "You know what, Peter? You know what, Simon? This was not revealed to you by man. This did not come from a classroom. This did not come from a small group lesson. This did not come from a Sunday sermon. And even if it did come through a Sunday sermon or a small group or maybe an evangelist, it was still something that was revealed to him, to Peter, by God and not by man." Okay? This is what I call, see, if we are to know the God of the church, we need to know the God of Revelation, not the book of Revelation. But for a Christian to claim that he or she believes in God, he or she believes in God according to a revelation that God personally revealed to our hearts to the point that we really, really believe. Okay? And I think many of us will agree with that, because again, most of us here grew up with an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. Diba? Those of us who grew up in, you know, Roman Catholic or Protestant schools, diba? We would pray every day. For Roman Catholics, we would see the crucifix. For Protestant schools, or maybe you grew up in a Protestant church, maybe you had Sunday school every Sunday. Diba? Sa Catholic kasi, wala kami Sunday school. No? But if you grew up in a Protestant or Evangelical church, you had Sunday school. And you had an idea of who God was. Diba? You knew about God. But something happened in your heart that all of a sudden made you believe in God. Maybe it began with the gospel, when God revealed to you how holy He was, and then that holiness revealed to you that you were sinful, that you were a sinner, not worthy of being in the presence of God. You see, this is the danger of religion. Religion tells us, anytime you can come to God, right? Anytime you can claim you're a Christian as long as you believe in Jesus Christ. But the gospel goes opposite religion. The first thing the gospel reveals to us is you are not worthy to be in front of God. You are not. And then, they reveal who our Savior is. Do you know Jesus Christ? He was eternal. He was God from the beginning. But He became man. Why? He's the Lamb of God. He came to die for your sins. Okay? And at the moment we believe, I don't know how many of you will have the same response that I had. No? But the moment you believe, that's when your heart changes. Your belief in God changes. And all of a sudden, He becomes someone who is real, someone who you want to fellowship with, someone who you want to know more, someone you want, whom you want Him to work in your heart, and you want to grow more and learn more about Him. See, that's what happens. You see, God can be God and have no effect whatsoever in your life. Diba? That's a religious understanding. But God, all of a sudden, by His grace, will just touch your heart and open your heart and say, "I am He." And all of a sudden, your life just changes. I remember a friend who came to me. He had just been born again. And he was so excited because someone shared the gospel to him and he believed in the Lord. And all of a sudden, he started to grow. He was so excited, he started to share to his friends. And his friends began to laugh at him. They began to call him fanatic. And so he came to me and said, "Brother Rick, but bakit ganyan?" Sabi niya, why was I so excited when I met the Lord, but why aren't they so hard when I shared to them? And I simply told him, you know why? Because it's not up to us. It's up to God. God, by His grace and in His own time, will graciously touch the heart of someone so that He reveals Himself to that person. And all of a sudden, things start to change. Now, why is this important, brethren? Because if God is to build His church, okay, if God is going to work together through each one of us, that belief in God is so important. God cannot build a church in a superficial belief. Okay? He cannot build a church with just a religious belief. He will not build a church just by a name that we proclaim. No, the Lord builds His church on a real belief that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Okay? Amen to that? Okay? If God were to stand before you, maybe after our service, maybe while you're resting this afternoon, and He will speak to your heart and say, "Who do you say I am?" Okay? What will we answer? Will we answer with a, a canned response? Okay? Or will we answer according to what we really believe? Okay? Another one of the songs that I enjoyed, the first time I heard it was last night in the evening service of your church. It was that song that sounded like the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, my God, three in one. And I think that the second or third stanza was saying, I believe in the communion of saints, the resurrection, etc. It sounded so much like what we call the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was an actual creed during the early church. No, it was not a prayer, it was a creed. No? It was a statement of faith. Okay? And many of us, ever since I was young, we were made to memorize it. No? That's why even up to now, I still remember it. I'll try to remember it. No? It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, who was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Diba? I believe in the Holy Spirit, during my time, I was a Roman Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church. But the original creed said the Holy Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. So the creed was meant to say, I believe in the Holy Universal Church. Okay? Not just here in Skyrise, not just in Banawa. No, everywhere. The Church of God is Catholic. It's universal. Okay? So I believe in the Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. I don't know if I missed something. And life everlasting. Diba? And some of us would say amen. Okay? So the Apostles' Creed, it's actually beautiful if you mention it. Diba? Because it's all biblical. But after you say it, what does it mean? Diba? You can actually say it so fast, but what does it mean to us? If it means nothing, then it's just a creed. God does not build His church on a creed. God builds his church on a personal revelation of who He is. Okay? And that's how each one of us must know our relationship with God. Many of us here, all of us here, grew up in Christian homes. We thought we knew God, diba? But we did not really believe in God. You see, what does it mean to believe? The Greek word believe means that I entrust myself to. I believe in someone so much. Okay? So I can say, I believe in Brother Nick. That if he tells me later, Pastor Ricky, you're not in Cebu actually, you're in Bohol. And I will say, okay. I will say, okay, why? Because I believe in him until he breaks that trust, of course. And I go out and say, hala, nasa Cebu pala ako. Hindi pala ako sa Bohol. So I will not believe in him anymore. You see? But if you really believe in someone, That's why, for example, as parents, it's so important for us, di ba? What we teach our kids, di ba? So, Merry Christmas. Oh, where did your gift come? I have a gift, yes, from Santa Claus. Di ba? So, they will believe you. Okay, they will believe you until they're old enough not to believe in Santa Claus. Di ba? I hope you don't believe in Santa Claus. No? At least as a real person who gives gifts to children. Okay, we even had, when I was young, we even had three kings. No, I don't know if you ever did this in your homes, no? But we would put our shoes in the front door. We would get grass from the empty lot and put grass in the shoes, no? And then they will say, "You sleep, huh? Don't stay awake because the three kings will come, no? And they will give you a gift." And so we would sleep. We would wake up in the morning. Hala, wala nang grass sa ano sa shoes, and then there would be money inside. And then we would run to the garden and we would find camel hoofs in the grass. And my parents would say, "This is where they passed when they came." Okay? And for so many years, grabe, that's what we believed. Last year lang ako hindi nag-believe. Grabe. No, so anyway, not joke. Okay. So, but see, things like that, of course, you know, those are based on traditions, based on understandings. But you notice how important what we say believes, because our children naturally believe us to the point that they will really take everything we say and believe it. Okay. Now, use that understanding for Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, "You know what? I died for your sins. I paid for it. You were supposed to die. But I died for you." See, it's when, you know, we hear that so many times, di ba? But it's only when we actually believe it that it becomes real. And then He really becomes our Savior. And it doesn't stop. Because Jesus continues to say, "You know what? I'm also your Lord. I'm also your Master. Do you trust me? Do you trust my word?" See, so when I say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Him. See, every word that He speaks, everything that He asks me to do, I believe. And that's what the church builds. That's what the Lord builds on in His church. That's why when Jesus said to Peter in verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's what He was talking about. Okay, He was talking about Peter's confession that he was the Christ. Okay? That's why, brethren, it's so important for all of us to grow in our understanding of God, to be discipled. Because it's that understanding of the Lord, it's that growth in our maturity in God that God uses for us to work together, that the church is built. Okay? Every time you join a small group, every time you learn a new lesson, and it builds up your faith, and it changes your life, that's part of God's building the church. You see? And then when you now graduate from being discipled, and now you are the one discipling, imagine what God is doing through you. Wow. Di ba? Kung sa Ilonggo, grabe, git. Oh, di ba? See? Git. Sa inyo, git. You know? Kami, git. Oh, di ba? So, pero grabe, si Lord eh. That's how He's worked. That's how He allows us all to work together in the church. You see, we don't realize it, but God is using us. See? And it's all founded first and foremost in the God of our church. The God of our church, He is the Christ. Okay? The Christ or the Messiah is the anointed one. He is the one. Okay? In every area of our life, He is the one. In your salvation, He is the one. In your Christian growth, He is the one. Okay? In your serving Him, He is the one who gives me strength. Even in your everyday life, in my work, Lord, You are the anointed one. In my business, Lord, it is You. In every area of security or peace or joy that I need, Lord, You are the anointed one. Jesus becomes our all, everything that we need. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one for every area of my life. Okay? Amen to that? That's what the Lord is building you upon. See? It cannot be superficial belief. See? So if you want to be part of God's building a church as and work together in the church, build up your understanding of who God is. That's what we're here for. See, He is the name above all names. All of a sudden, when you grow in God, it's not the name of your pastor that's important. It's not the name of your church that's important. It's not the name of your small group that's important. What becomes important is the name of my God. See, and we grow in it. Hindi naman overnight ang pagkakilala natin sa Diyos, eh, diba? Sa Ginoo, eh, no? Eh. It's a daily growth, a daily understanding. So always remember the church of your God. But another thing I want to share about the God of our church, okay, is, it's also in verse 18. Let's go back to verse 18. It says, "And I tell you that you are Peter," and Jesus said, "and on this rock," he said, "I will build." Okay? If you can just imagine all capitals, "I will build my church." Jesus did not look at Peter and say, "You are Peter, and on this rock, Peter, you will build my church." No. Jesus said, "I will build my church." The second important understanding that all of you need to believe and understand, that it is the Lord who is building Living Word IT Park. Amen to that? Amen. Okay. See, AJ has a service at 3 p.m. But is he also called Living Word IT Park? Fellowship na lang in IT. Pero kayo, you're called the Living Word IT Park. Okay, I just wanted to make it clear, no? So I don't get confused later when I preach to them, no? So it is the Lord who is building Living Word IT Park. Okay? He never entrusted it to us. He never said, "Okay, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, okay? One day I'll come back, pero bahala na kayo, ha?" No. Okay. Even up to today, it is still the Lord who is building His church. So the second aspect we need to understand is, my God, He is the God of revelation. He revealed Himself to me, and I treasure that revelation. But Lord, you are also the God who is building this church. This church that I'm part of. This church that you are leading me to come here every Sunday. Some of you have been led to serve. Some of you have been led to be part of ministries or small groups. This church, Lord, is a church that you are building. Okay? That means God is actively doing something. God has not stopped building His church. Okay? He has not stopped. And so the Lord is doing something. But this is the challenge of the church. We need to understand, Lord, you are building your church, not me. So it's our role to kneel down, okay, to cry out to God and say, "Lord, what's my part? What is my part, Lord, as you are building your church?" Because it's so important, brethren, for us to understand that. Because if we think, it's so easy for us to be mistaken that we human beings are the one building His church. Okay? When we think it is us, no, this is for the leaders, for the workers, no, we put so much effort, we put so much time in building the church, and then when something wrong happens, we feel frustrated, and then we say, "What did I do wrong?" And then we're so guilty, "No, Lord, sorry, I should have done this and I should have done that." But that makes us look like we're the ones building. And if we made a mistake, something wrong is going to happen. No. See? The challenge of a believer is, "Lord, I believe you are building your church. You are the one moving." We do not physically see it, okay? But as we, everything that happens in this church, okay, the spiritual growth of believers, the growth of ministries, the growth of small groups, of discipling, everything that we see, "Lord, it's you." Okay? It's you. So Lord, what's my part there? What's my part in what you're doing for the church? This is such an important foundation. Why? Because our total trust and our total dependence must be upon the God who is the one building this church. And God is sovereign. Anything that He wants to happen, He'll make it happen. But see, He has not stepped back and neglected His church. Why? Because He is still building His church. Sabi nga ni Lord, not even the gates of hell will prevail against my church. In other words, I'm going to build my church. And if I'm right there in the gate of hell, I will ring the doorbell and Satan will open the gate and I'll build my church there. That's what it means. At least that's what I think it means. No? Because a gate is meant to stop us from entering a property. Diba? So what is the gate of hell? It's the gate that stops us from entering hell. So the Lord is so sovereign that even if he wants to build the church in hell itself, it will be built. See, that's how great and powerful he is. But we're not in hell. Diba? Amen? Oh. We're on the earth. Okay? And I hope you're assured of your salvation. One day we will not be there. Okay? The Lord is building his church here in this world, in Cebu City, in IT Park specifically. Diba? This church, he's building. You know what the Lord is saying? Nothing will stop me. Nothing. Now that should move each one of us to say, Lord, what is my part? Maybe the Lord will say, okay, your part for now, come here every Sunday. Okay? Come here every Sunday. Now build the church. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, diba? Look at those empty seats in front of you. Diba? Start praying. Lord, I pray next Sunday someone will sit there. Oh, diba? Amen to that? Amen. Okay. And then look at yourself and say, Lord, maybe I will be the one to invite. Oh, amen? Amen. Okay. Parang naggamay ang amen. Oh, diba? If that seat needs to be filled, another area is God will say, I want to use you. And that's God building his church. And then you know, he'll call you to usher, call you even as an intercessor, one of the invisible workers of the church. Diba? Not many will know that you're actually praying right now. Maybe before the service you prayed. Maybe in your home you're already praying. Maybe every day you're praying for your pastor, your leaders, the workers, you're praying for them. That's God building his church. Diba? It's so important because all of us need to be totally dependent upon God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 7. Look at Paul told the Corinthians. Paul wrote, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you believe. Okay? Now, let me go ahead of me because this is related to the third point. But look at the... I forgot to check last night. I don't know if it's grammar or choice of words, diba? Paul said or wrote, what after all is Apollos? See, diba, that's wrong. I don't know if you call it grammar or choice of words, ba? Because if you're talking about a person, should you use the word what? No, you should use the word who. Okay? But Paul did not make a mistake. That's actually how he felt. He said, what after all is Paul? What is Apollos? What are we? We are only servants. Because during that time, servants were things. Eh? During the time, during the time when Paul was writing, servants were bought. They were things in the house. They could be abused and they would not be brought to jail because they were just things. Eh? And Paul, as a servant of God, he knew that. Eh? What am I? He didn't say, who am I? But what am I? Merely servants. Okay? Only servants through whom you came to believe. That's why a pastor can preach. Okay? But in your heart, you're saying, thank you, Lord. Okay? Because in human words, he just spoke what you are speaking to my heart right now. You see? And that's why we always say all the glory goes to him. Why? We are only servants being used by God to bring an explanation of the word that you may not naturally see and yet that God will use. Okay? Who are you encouraged by an usher shaking your hand and greeting you? They are only servants through whom you were encouraged. You see? Are you encouraged by the singer or the band playing? They are only servants through whom God is moving to minister to your hearts. Now, why is that important? Because everything that happens in the church, you know it's God. You know it's God. That even if a pastor is replaced, even if someone comes and is not as eloquent, not as good a speaker as the other pastor, etc., which was the problem in 1 Corinthians, by the way. Okay? The church was divided between Paul and Apollos. Okay? And part of chapter 3, Is it chapter 2 or chapter 3? Paul tells them directly, you know what? You are worldly. Why? Because you're still choosing between men. See? You are not looking beyond the men and women that God is using in the church. Look what he says. Look what Paul writes in verse 6. Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but who? God made it grow. See, you know what Paul was telling them? It's not about the one who planted or the one who watered. It's not them. Everything that's happening is about God. And that should speak also to you, for example, about a small group. A small group, no? I don't want to be part of a small group. But if you believe that that is God moving through the small group, you're not excited just to see the members. You're excited to see or to sense God moving through the small group. Diba? And encouraging you. You see through the human and go beyond and see the God who is building the church. Again, an important foundation in our hearts. Okay? Verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Yeah? Only God. Okay? And as you grow, living where Dighty Park, as you keep on growing, that's what God will remind you. Anak, it's only me. It's only me. I alone deserve the praise. I alone am to be glorified. Diba? You will see humans with their weaknesses. They will make mistakes. No? You may feel that, pero sige lang, anak, it's me. I am building my church. Okay? A while ago, what did we sing? Okay? You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. Well, what does that mean? It means God doesn't need us to build this church. He does not. He can build this church without using anyone. He can, if he wants to. But by his grace, he decides to call, I know, brethren, if you know me, okay, right now you know me as the pastor preaching, oh, grabe, ang ganda, etc. But you don't know me. Okay? And me, inside me, up to today, still wonders why God chose me. I still wonder why. But that's God. I can build my church. In fact, I am building my church. I can do it on my own. But I want to use you. I want to use you. I want to use you. That's why if you are sensing a desire in your heart to serve or to be part of something, that's God telling you, I want to use you. I want to use you in this small group, in this ministry, in this activity. I want to use your cooking. I want to use your baking. I want to use your eating. Oh, di ba? Hindi naman tanan nagbe-bake, di ba? Ang iba nag-i-eat lang eh. Oh, di ba? And so God will use all of that to build this church. That's how we're built. Eh. Di ba? Every little thing that happens, it's God. Di ba? It's the Lord. That's why we need to see the church. And if all of us have that belief, you notice how God will begin to use all of us together as a church. Every little thing. Okay? Someone shakes your hand, you shake it back. That's part of building the church. Someone smiles, you smile back. Someone says, hi, brother. Oh, hi, brother. Oh, he's my brother in Christ. She's my sister. It builds up the church. Diba? You have a family day. You go somewhere and enjoy. Diba? No one's preaching a sermon. No one's bringing a Bible, but you're together as a church. That builds up the church. Every little thing that is God building his church. Diba? So this should be, brethren, so founded in our hearts. But not only that. Let me bring you to the second point. The church of our God. Matthew 16, let's go back. Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, okay, I will build, now here's a new all capitals, if you can imagine it, I will build, capital, my church. My church, Jesus said. Jesus did not say, okay, I will help you build your church. Okay? This is your church, huh? I will help you. No. First, Jesus said, I will build. Second, he said, my church. Okay? So who are we? Who are we? We are the church of God. We belong to Him. Diba? We are so precious. We are so loved. And you know what God does, brethren? Especially for the leaders who are here. Sometimes we have to be reminded. And this is a reminder even for the members to pray for our leaders. You know why? Because what God does is, you know, this is my church. And He'll appoint leaders. He'll appoint future elders in the church. And you know what He'll say? He'll say, take care of my church. Take care of my church. That's what He says. And in eternity, whatever happens in Living Word IT Park, He's going to gather the elders of the church. And He's going to say, how did you take care of my church? See? This church does not belong to anyone. Okay? My church does not belong to anyone. Even if we're registered in SEC, it's not the SEC that gives us identity. That's just it's just something we have to, what do you call this? We have to do it just for the sake of submitting to our government. That every organization has to be registered, etc. Diba? But the church really belongs to God. That's why I personally correct people that come to me and say, oh, you're the pastor of the Lord's Lampstand Christian Church. And so you're the founding pastor. No, I'm not the founding. I did not found this church. I did not find it. I just happened to be the one whom God called to pastor this church. Okay? Imagine, let me tell you a story. When I was still in college, I have a half-brother, the first marriage of my mother. He's like 10, almost 20 years older than me. He used to work with PNB. He was assigned to Saudi Arabia International Department. And he had this car. We were staying in Manila. He had this car. That was late 70s or early 80s. No? A Toyota Corona, two-door. No? It was called the Toyota Macho. Okay? So I don't know how many of you remember that. The Toyota Corona Macho. The bachelor's car. Diba? Two-door. During that time, you drove it. And he bought new magwheels for it. He had a Momo steering wheel. Diba? He had a tachometer inside, etc. Nice stereo. My brother was a typical bachelor na kwan. Okay? Whatever. So he took care of the car. So one day, he had to go to Saudi Arabia. He did not know how long he would be there. So he comes to me. Okay? I was 18 or above, so I was driving already. Gives me the keys and says, while I'm in Saudi, this is yours. Okay? And as a teenager in college, you know, it's like I heard angels. Why? Kasi you parked that car in school? Huh? Not grab. People, nakaano pa siya, what do you call those mufflers that make a sound? Headers, naka-headers pa yan. Rimbing. So just driving it to school, you see the eyes looking at you. Grabe. And syempre, you're driving it. Di ba? And all of a sudden, I was having lunch with three of my lady classmates. Wow, kasi may macho ka na eh. No? Would go to, etc. And for, I don't know how long I had it, months or years. But I took care of it. I washed it. I made sure it was clean always, etc. Okay? And then he came back. Okay? When he came back, I just handed the keys back to him. I said, here. Okay, it's yours. I was happy to enjoy it. I knew it wasn't mine. But I was enjoying it. And when he came back, I said, here. Salamat. I did not call him kuya. Just, I said, here it is. So, okay, fine. Once in a while, I would borrow it. But it was his. It was never mine. Okay? It's the same understanding we need to have about the church. The church is not ours. Okay? Of course, right now, more specifically for the workers who are actively working, but the rest of you are future workers. Actually, not just workers, just as members, ask yourself, how am I treating this church? Diba? do I like it because I just like the personalities? But there will come a time you will not like the personalities. Eh? Diba? Because if there's one thing about the church is like marriage. Diba? When you get married, you love your husband, you love your wife. Diba? But you don't realize he snores pala. Diba? You don't realize he throws his socks above the closet or whatever. And so all of a sudden, your love is tested. Diba? But that's where commitment comes in. You may not really like your fellow church members, but who are they? You know who they are? You know, if you look at the person to your left or to your right, or to make it easier, look at the one in front of you so he does not see you. Unless he has eyes behind him. Yan ang delikado, okay? So, but look at that person in front of you. You know who that person is? That's someone whom Jesus Christ died for. Jesus Christ died for him. That's why in Romans 14, I think it's 1 Corinthians, where Paul deals with food, diba? When he talks about food in Romans 14, why will you stumble someone, Paul said, for whom Christ died? Okay? And that's how we deal with one another. Why will I fight with someone for whom Christ died? He died for me. He died for her. Why will I mess a relationship that is anchored on the death of the Lamb? Diba? If all of us would just understand our relationships in that way, I tell you, we would lovingly and winningly work together for the church. Why? Because you work together, you know what? We're fellow. Patay si Lord para sa atin. Eh, hindi naman, we cannot boast above each other here. Eh. We're all in the same boat. Eh. Diba? No matter how worse a sinner you think you are, God still died for them. We are His church. Okay? We are His church. We serve our chief shepherd, but we recognize the human shepherds whom God has appointed to take care of us. Okay? And that's why, as I mentioned a while ago, all of us should be praying for our pastors, our leaders. Because the church is not an easy thing to take care of. I always, when I'm talking to let's say, classmates of mine, you know, they wonder why I'm a pastor, diba? Kasi I graduated kasi marketing in college, and so they're expecting me to be up there with Procter & Gamble or whatever it is, but I'm a pastor. And I always tell them, you know what, a church is just like a company, it's management. The only difference is this, you work in Procter & Gamble, you manage tithe and safeguard and all of these things, diba? But in the church, you manage souls, which makes the work of a pastor and leader so stressful. Diba? So stressful. I know it don't say it in me, okay? Maybe I'm so stressful, my extra weight gives me strength. No? Diba? That's why the Lord made me. No? Kawawa kay TJ, diba? Wala na siyang extra strength na makuha. So, okay, no? Okay, maybe I'll pass on some to you later on. No? But it really is. You know why? Pastors and leaders are so concerned with your growth. When someone sins, they grieve for the church. Many of you sin, you confess to your pastor, only you and your pastor know. And only both of you are grieving. But see, we have been given that entrustment by God. The Lord said, take care of my sheep. And we cry out every day, Lord, by your grace. Hindi ko kaya, Lord. Hindi ko kaya. That's why you need to pray for us. You need to pray for your leaders that we have that understanding. But you also need to realize that because you are part of God's church, you also have a part. You also have a role. You are His sheep. Diba? All of us should be listening to His voice. That way, again, we end up working together, listening to the same voice. The God who owns our church. The one who owns each one of us individually and all of us collectively. But it's also a security in our hearts, diba? Whatever shakes our church, we can always go back and say, Lord, you own us. Eh? We are your church. Okay? And you know, God is so protective, He will not allow anyone or anything to destroy this church. Eh? Diba? And that's why all of us need to be so open with that. Now, the last point I have, and the last is the grace of our God. Okay. there's a pastor who told me na when a pastor conoces, lastly, okay, our hearts daw wake up. Is, ay, at last. Okay, okay. So I don't know if that's what happened, di ba? My last point, okay, which has two sub-points. Okay, so don't get excited yet. Okay, wait for my ending prayer to be excited to go home. Okay, so what time is it? Okay, 1 o'clock? We end at 1? Okay, so... Okay, let me just finish as quickly as possible. My third point in understanding how God will allow us to work together as His church is the grace of our God. Okay, I touched a little on that 1 Corinthians 15 when Paul said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? You know why Paul wrote or at least spoke it that way? Look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, Paul wrote and said, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Okay? And he continues, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Okay? You see in this passage, in verse 9 and 10, a mixture of human and God. Human and grace. Okay? Which is exactly what happens with all of us. All of us are humans. No? And it's very natural for us as humans to boast. Why? Because we're built that way. We're built that way. We for example, this week in our church, we had an art workshop with the children. And so they would paint and draw. No? And I would pass by. And every time I would pass by, all the kids, many of the kids, not all, would come to me, Pastor, look at my drawing. Diba? And even if it looks like a skeleton and a potato with things like that, siyempre you say, wow, di ba? Ganda, di ba? Nice, it's very nice. No? Of course, I'm exaggerating. No? Most of their works were really nice. No? And children grow up with that. Eh, di ba? They're told, wow, di ba? They play the guitar, ting, tong, 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 di ba? And their parents are saying, wow, di ba? Work harder, anak, work harder, di ba? But that's good. So we're all, you know, we're all wired to receive praise and all of these praises and accolades and everything, di ba? And so when we, even as Christians, I don't know, some of us don't realize it, we still look for that, eh. Di ba? You usher well, you preach well, you sing well, play an instrument well, no? And after the Sunday, you're waiting for someone to come to you and say, ay, Brad, ay, na-bless ako. Okay? See? Now, the part of our heart that's spiritual will say, glory to God. Di ba? Si Lord yan, si Lord. But the human part says, yes. Di ba? We just don't show it, di ba? Di ba? Next Sunday when I preach again, I'm gonna do it again. And then next Sunday after you preach, no one approaches you. Di ba? So you're asking your wife, at least this is what I do. March, do you think I understood what I preached, di ba? Parang walang na-bless, eh, di ba? And of course, as a good wife, March will say, oh, okay na yan, di ba? But then it's only God who will say, anak, it's not about you, it's about me, di ba? That's the struggle that all of us have, eh. Okay? All of us have that struggle, from your pastor to all the leaders, to all the workers, even all of us here. Again, you may not be in ministry, but with regards to your work, with regards to your business, with regards to your family, whatever it is, there's that area that is that you know the grace of God, but there's that area that says, oh, I'm good, di ba? And God always has to temper that. The Lord always has to remind us, if I'm the God of the church, okay, if I own the church, if I am building my church, you have no room to boast. Di ba? More so when you realize that it's by the grace of God that I'm doing what I'm doing. Everything, huh, brethren. Huh? You're sitting here and understanding the word that you read and say, oh, my Lord, that's the grace of God. Okay? Because you can have other people sit here and they will not understand anything. My being able to teach and to explain the Word of God in some way, I always have to remember and tell myself, Lord, this is not from me. Now, those of you who know my test, some of you know my testimony. Every time I stand up, I know it's not me. Because I had stage fright all my life. From nursery up to college. Even when I was working, I had stage fright. Okay? And that's why even up to today, no? I pray myself up to stand up and speak. Of course, you don't notice it. Right? But that's the grace of God. But in everything that we do, if you're interceding for the church, diba? You don't come to God and say, Lord, I interceded for the church. Diba? Have you ever caught yourself? Okay, have you ever caught yourself serving God, doing something, and then all of a sudden a problem comes? And then you come to God and say, Lord, I've been serving you for the past year. Why did you do this? Oh, diba? As if our service is a spiritual bribe to God. That, Lord, as long as I'm serving you, keep me healthy. So if I get sick, Lord, you did not see by serving you. Oh, di ba? And another problem of depending on ourselves is we become like Martha. Okay? Now, we don't have time to turn because I know, do you still have that trap door where the pastor drops? Pag 12 o'clock, wala na. Okay. So anyway, because I'll start walking if that happens. Okay. Wala pa naman 12. I think my watch is advanced. No? What happened to Mary and Martha? Okay, just to summarize the whole story. Jesus comes and enters their home. Okay? The moment Jesus enters, it says, Mary sat down at his feet and began to listen. That means Jesus began to teach. Diba? Imagine the Lord starting to teach. You'll stop everything that you do. But Martha, being the good hostess, okay, which was cultural with the Jews, just like Filipinos, no? The first thing she did was to run to the kitchen. Okay? And while Jesus is teaching, of course, I'm using more modern understanding. But while Jesus is teaching, the pots and the pans are clanging and pang, pang, getting glasses, opening the ref. Ala, wala na coke. Dai, palit ka coke sa kwano. So, Jesus is teaching, huh? And she's serving, preparing whatever. I'm going to make hot cake or whatever. I'm going to make. She's cooking, she's sweating, etc. Oh, di ba? While Jesus is in her home, she's so busy. And then she goes to Jesus. Now, if you remember the story, she says, Lord, okay, don't you care? That's the first thing she says. Lord, don't you care? She started to question God's caring for her. Why? Because she was so busy and stressed, depending on herself. Don't you care, Lord? And here is the nice part. Don't you care that Mary has left me to do all the work by myself? Okay? See? Don't you sense that, all the work by myself? Oh, diba? Me, diba? Lord, look at me. I'm preparing your merienda, Lord. It's just me. Why is Mary like that? You know, when you're stressed in ministry and you're not depending on the grace of God, you're looking at other workers and saying, why are they not as good as me? Diba? Why are they not working as hard as me? Me, I'm here at 7:30 in the morning for the 10 o'clock service. Why are you not here? Oh, diba? Why do we have to? Diba? Just because you come here at 7:30, does that mean everybody has to? But you begin to compare. You begin to think that, I am the... ikaw pala ang importante para sa church? Look what Paul said in verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. The grace of God has an effect. Okay? No, he said, I worked harder than all of them. The way I look at this, it's as if the self of Paul is coming out. Diba? I worked harder than all of them, but all of a sudden you notice the hand of God pushing him down. And yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Working by God's grace doesn't mean that we're relaxed. No, working by God's grace means, like Paul, you're reaching almost the whole of Asia Minor. Can you imagine? Almost all the letters in the New Testament are all by Paul, except for Hebrews and 1st, 2nd Peter and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, oh, diba? And Revelation. The rest is all Paul. Imagine how much he did for the Lord. That's why he said that. I worked harder than all of them. All the rest of the apostles, huh? But it is as if the hand of God comes down and says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. No wonder in chapter 3, he said, what is Paul? He had to remind himself, I'm just an instrument. I'm a what? I'm not a who. See? And you know how that's important in the church? Unless you're founded on grace, there will always be conflict. There will always be people battling for position. There will always be people siding with one side and another. Why? Because we've forgotten about grace. You know where the grace comes from? Not again, I want to shorten this. If you read, we're in 1 Corinthians 15. You read verse 1 up to verse 8. It's all about the gospel. Paul said, I want to share a few of first importance that Christ died for your sins. See, that's the first thing he said. The first thing that should remind us is, from how many of us have memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, diba? We've memorized it so much, we've forgotten what it means. That for by grace you have been saved. Okay? Through faith, not by works that no one can boast. It begins with our salvation, but everything we do in the church, it's all by grace. Your giving of your tithes or your love offering, you think that's from you? It's not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul calls it the grace of giving. Okay? You know why? Because in our hearts, the word that is implanted is, it is better to receive than to give. Amen? Humanly, okay? Humanly, it is better to give than to receive. Amen? Humanly, okay? I just want to hear your amen. I know you don't like it, but diba? Humanly, right? God's grace says, it is better to give than to receive. That's why every time you're portioning your, I don't know how much, whether you believe in the tithe or grace giving or whatever, every time you're getting that portion out of your income, actually it hurts. Eh? Diba? I can buy a new cell phone. Eh? Pwede ko is, invest sa stock market, Lord. Eh? Pwede ko, diba? But you're saying, no, Lord, this is yours. That's actually the grace of God telling you. See, so we cannot boast of anything in this church, in our churches, nothing. Okay, how many of you are here, but actually you didn't want to be here, and yet you're here, diba? So Lord, by the grace of God, I'm here. Diba? It's all by grace. See, there's no room for pride. There's no room for any personality. There's no room for any skill that does not come from a baptism of God's grace. I use that as a quan. We have, because some of you have certain skills. You want to use it for God. But again, you cannot claim, Lord, I'm using this skill for you. Huh? No. It has to be baptized into God's grace. So you eventually realize, Lord, this skill that I have actually comes from you. Not me. And I'm just using it for your church. Everything. It's all by God's grace. You know, when you understand the grace of God, it becomes easier to work together as a church. Why? Because you know in your heart who you are not, and you work with someone else, you know they are not, and it's only God. And so all of us working together by the grace of God. So remember the God of your church. Okay? He's the God of revelation. Grow in that revelation. Don't stop growing, brethren. Know Him more and more. And always remember, He's the God building the church. Not humans. Not people. He is the one building. Secondly, the second point, the church of our God, we belong to Him. Okay? We are His. He bought us at a price. Therefore, glorify God because He bought us. Thirdly, the grace of our God. When the Lord begins to touch your heart, to make you part of what He is doing in this church, always remember His grace. Okay? But just like Paul, he said, I am what I am, but what I am is all by God's grace. Okay? Every time I read that verse, I remember Popeye. Diba? Who of you remember Popeye, the sailor man? I'm Popeye, the sailor man. You remember his song, diba? I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Diba? I'm Popeye. Okay, anyway. di ba? And who was Popeye? Popeye was someone who always saved olive oil, di ba? He was always there to save Sweepy from Brutus, di ba? And would eat spinach, his muscles would grow, and he would be the hero, di ba? It's like Paul saying, you know what, I am what I am, but we always bow down in our sinfulness, remembering, Lord, I am what I am, okay, only because of who you are. I pray that all of us will have that understanding in our hearts. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for reminding us today that you are working in our church. You are building this church, Lord. And you are using all of us to work together, Lord, to build your church. Remind us of who you are. Remind us of who we are, Lord. And remind us of the grace. Lord, may your grace just saturate our hearts, Lord. May your grace just fill our hearts so much that every moment we're bowing down before you in our hearts, Lord. You graciously ask us to be your instruments, to be your servants. But may your grace always remind us that it's you working and not us. Lord, by this we know that with these foundations, Lord, we know that all of us can and will be working together, Lord, to build this church. Thank you, O God. I commit each one to you, Lord, from their pastor, from TJ to the leaders, to the workers, to the members, everyone, Lord. I commit them all to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give God glory, brethren? Let's clap.